One of the great tzaddikim was the chosid of the Tzemach Tzedek, was Reb Hillel Meparich, Reb Hillel Meparicher. Matter of fact, one of the Sfardish Gedolim, the famous Zdei Chemed, who wrote the encyclopedic work on various aspects in Halacha, he writes, Harav HaKodesh, he writes of Hillel Parich, he says, Noida lekoil goidel malas amadreges rava chosid amefusim peir hador tzadik yisad oilom. He writes on Hillel Parich. Hillel Parich, as we said, was a Talmud of the Tzemach Tzedek. That was his final destination. It was the Talmud of the Tzemach Tzedek, the Talmud of others, of the Basoy and of Avrich. Tzemach Tzedek was mafli him very much. At a particular time when one of the sons of the Tzemach Tzedek wrote a letter to Reb Hillel, and the Tzemach Tzedek found out that they titled him Hagoyin HaChosid. So the Tzemach Tzedek added the word HaTzadik, Hagoyin HaTzadik, and told the sons to make sure to add that title as well. He's not just Hagoyin HaChosid, he's a Tzadik. Consider him to be a very big Tzadik. As a matter of fact, it's brought down that there was a particular time where the Tzemach Tzedek was a Tkufe, did not say Divrei Chasidus. And many Hasidim came and they complained that the Tzemach Tzedek was not saying Divrei Chasidus. They said he's coming from very far, nor have the schus to hear Divrei Chasidus from the Tzemach Tzedek. So the Tzemach Tzedek says, go to Reb Hillel and hear Divrei Chasidus from him. So the Hasidim said, but Reb Hillel is the Talmud of you, which means he's a Klisheni. Klisheni ain't a Mavashel. So the Rebbe said, but it's Yatzei Ledes boy. The brand of it. So, the gallus of Reb Hillel of Parich. Because the Gavuchi, he had many chumras he had. I mean, just to see what kind of chumras you might think of, if you ever thought of this one. When he used to sweep the house, he used to make sure the first place that he sweeps is the door where it has the mezuzah, because that's the most choshev place of the house. So, if there's any chelik that needs to be cleaned first, is the chelik ha-choshev of the house. Which is the most choshev? The place that has the mezuzah. So, it's the door area that has the mezuzah, that's a place that deserves to be swept first. Just to show the idea of an attitude of a person. He also had a gevaldig chumra that he would not mail any letters after Wednesday. Closer to Shabbos already. From Wednesday on, he wouldn't mail any letters. There's a meister that once the Tzemach Tzedek asked him to write on a Thursday a tshuva. He was a big goyin also, the Gabi Heter Aguna. So he had no brayer, he says. His Rebbe asked him to write. He would not write letters from Wednesday on. And the Rebbe said to write. So he wrote, didn't ask any questions. He wrote the letter. Turns out that Tzemach Tzedek, for some reason, sent out all the letters. His letter stayed behind. It was not mailed before the Shabbos. So it just worked out like Minashemayim that his Rotzen L'maisa was fulfilled. What's interesting thing is, why I'm mentioning it, because Reb Hillel Parich with B'derech Klal, he would be sort of like a wandering maggid going from place to place in order to be moired people for tshuva. He came once in a particular town, and in those days, which was very, very popular, the people who had sort of, not to call it a bar, but had places where stop drinking stops, where people come, goyim, yidin, would come to drink, would be a big panusa. And people on long roads, long trips, as a kretschmer, they'd be able to stop over there. So he came to a place that the yidin who owned these places, these shops, actually, were Machal Shabbos. The stores would be open on Shabbos, and they would serve drinks and would sell drinks on Shabbos like on a regular day. So the first thing that he did was he gathered together all of these people, and it was moir them about the chashivas of Shabbos, which Shabbos means the importance of Shabbos. And listening, coming from him, he had a tremendous hashpoa that they should be willing to close on Shabbos, not to sell any whiskeys and any mashke on Shabbos. However, they said, one tanai, that is a major, major oisher who has a shop that's very, very big. If he doesn't close on Shabbos, then they'll put them out of business. So they said to the Rebbe, they said to Reb Hillel, says, we're ready to close on Shabbos. If you can be mashpi on this big oisher, then he also closes on Shabbos. So he called him to come to him. He didn't call, just left it off, he didn't come. Turns out that the first Shabbos immediately, what happened was that the oisher all of a sudden received tremendous attacks, pain in his stomach. And as Shabbos continued on and on and on, the pains became more intensified, and didn't know what to do. His wife, the wife. Always the wife comes to the rescue. And the wife dawned on her that maybe because he was pegay on the cover of the tzaddik, maybe the tzaddik called and he didn't come. So Maisie says he's not coming. So she ran and started to beg and to plead that tzaddik should send her husband Rafui Shalema. He doesn't say anything. He's sitting by a tish. It's Shabbos afternoon. The Zingzimiris and so on and so forth. The Hasidim says, Rebbe, all you have to do is say Shabbos Himalizik, Rafui Kareva Lovoi. That's all you have to do. He says, no, he doesn't say anything. She leaves Mamish, nothing. She didn't get a bracha. In the meantime, the Yisurim, the pain, just continue on more and more and more. Motze Shabbos, after Havdalah, as Reb Hillel is sitting together with the Hasidim, and there is a urn. There's an urn with which they made hot tea. And the reason they make hot tea, Bechlal, it's the minig of many Hasidim to drink on Motze Shabbos, because the Gemara says, Chamin b'Motze Shabbos melugim. The Gemara says, interesting to know this, that to drink hot tea, hot coffee, whatever it is, to drink something warm, it's a refuah. It's a zgula for refuah. So Reb Hillel used to do that, and he used to drink that together. All of a sudden, while they're drinking this tea, all of a sudden the door opens again, and she comes in, with gevaldige bechias and crying and so on and so forth, and she asks to have rachmanis on her husband and to give him a bracha for a refuah shleima. Now Motze Shabbos, now he says, Shabbos hi melizik refuah kroiva lovoi. He said, Rebbe, and this is Motze Shabbos. So on Shabbos, when we ask you to say it, they don't want to say it. So he says, you don't know the meaning of these words. He says, when a person is Mechal Shabbos, Shabbos cries out in pain. You think he's in pain? Shabbos cries out in pain. The Eitzah is, Shabbos hi melizoi. Get Shabbos to stop crying, then refuah krov v'lovoi. So now it's Motze Shabbos. Shabbos isn't crying anymore, he says. But the idea is, if he does not stop being Mechal Shabbos, so Shabbos will begin to cry again. And if Shabbos will begin to cry, then he won't have a refuah. So the Eitzah is, Shabbos hi melizoi. The Eitzah is, to find a way how to get Shabbos to stop screaming against this person. And then, in fact, refuah krov v'lovoi. When he heard that, he realized the source of his machla. He did tshuva, and he closed the store on Shabbos. That was Rav Hillel Parish. All right, Rabbi Sai. So we continue here again. We go here to Perek Hamishi. And we started a few lines, but let's just recap again and go quickly over it again. We had a soke. Just remember again that at the end of Perek Dalet, the Tanya brought out the idea, the cheshivas of being connected to Torah. And in matter of fact, in this Perek, the Tanya wants to point out, as great as all the mitzvahs are, however, the purpose of this Perek is to show that Limudat Torah is superior to all mitzvahs. And as the Tanya points out, as we'll see, that when a person studies Torah, number one, he becomes embraced. He comes embraced by the Chochmas HaTorah, and he also embraces the Torah. When a person studies Torah, the Tanya will show us, A, through the intellect and the exercise of studying Torah, it means that he's actually embracing the Torah. And in return also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the King, the Melech Malchut HaMelech, is embracing him. Because let's remember, when a person is studying Torah, he's not just studying Torah. Because Torah is Chochmas Hashem, he connects directly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And the Mela, the Tanya will show in this Perek, when you're studying Torah, you're not just embracing Torah, but your Seichel is actually uniting, Mamish, uniting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. You're embracing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and by the same token, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is embracing you. You are Zeichel to the royal embrace. And this is the idea that the Tanya attempts to explain to us, as we see right here. The Tanya says, L'toisvus bir. He says, additional explanation. Beir Heite, he says, to explain it more clearly, Loshin Tfisa Shomer Leo, when we talk about grasping, what does grasping mean? How are we able, Bechlal, to grasp onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We know, Shomer Leo, we know that Eliyahu HaNavi says, there's a psiche, Posach Leo, which in many Sidurim is printed, which is said before davening. He says there that Leis Machshove Tfisa Boch, it says that no thought can grasp you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if no thought can fathom nor grasp HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so how, on the other hand, are we saying that a person's able to grasp and embrace HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How will that take place? And the Tanya goes on to say that the medium is through Torah, through the study of Torah. And he says as follows. Hine, what happens is that kol seichel kishemaskil umasik besichloi eze musik. The seichel is the source of intellect. when a seichel perceives, right? When my seichel perceives, and I am masik b'sichloi, it means that I understand eze musik. Musik means a subject. So when I take a subject in Torah, whatever the subject may be, and my seichel perceives that subject, what happens at that time is, hare ha-seichel toifes es ha-musku u-makifoi b'sichloi. It means that my mind has grasped the subject and it encompassed it. Which means very simply, when I am learning something, when I'm studying something, and I attempt to understand it, so my seichel really is encompassing it. At the same time, when my seichel is encompassing the subject becomes encompassed by my mind. It's hobotalia. My mind is encompassing the subject, and the subject becomes encompassed. The hamuskel, muskel is the subject that's being understood. The hamuskel, we're talking about Torah. The subject is nitfas, means it's grasped, it's mukaf, it's encompassed, umalubish, and it's clothed. The subject is clothed, betoicha seichel, shehisigoi, that he understood, vehiskiloi, and he perceived. So it means very simple, that when I understand something, so it means that my mind surrounds it, in the same way that if I hold a material object in my hand, my hand surrounds the object. That's why I hold. That's how I hold it. So that's in the physical sense. Knowledge is an abstract situation. It's non-tangible. But in the same way that when I hold something that's material, and when I, by holding it, my hand encompasses and surrounds the item. So when I'm learning Torah, what it means is my mind is surrounding the Torah. My mind is encompassing the Torah, and the Torah is being encompassed. It's being encompassed by my mind. As he says, v'gam ha-seichel. And also, what happens at the same time, not only, here's sort of like a paradox. The subject matter is encompassed by my mind, but at the same time also the reverse is true. My mind becomes encompassed by the Torah. It's like a kesher shel kayoma. It's a double connection. My mind encompasses the Torah, and in return also the Torah encompasses my mind. V'gam ha-seichel, and also my seichel, is melubish b'muskal. Right, my seichel becomes clothed. B'muskal means with the subject. B'shoshe masigoy, at the time, right, that he is trying to understand it. V'toivsoy b'sichloy, and he's comprehending it and he is grasping it. And as the Mefarshim b'derech klal, there's three ways that they understand this. But one of the basic ways to understand what the Tanya is saying is as follows: when I start to learn any piece of Gemara, any subject matter, whether it's Chumash, whether it's Tanakh, any area of Torah. So right away, when I try to understand it, when I study it, so my mind encompasses the subject. What happens is, now I break into it and analyze it. I go into it in depth. So as we say, common speech says, I go into the subject, right? Megaitaran in the sugya. You go into the sugya. By saying I go into the sugya, it means that my mind goes in. So if I'm saying that my mind goes in, so now it's the opposite. It means that the subject matter is encompassing my mind, because my mind goes into it. Ultimately, when I go into the sugya and I reach and I grasp really what the sugya means, so then again my mind encompasses the subject matter. So it's intertwined. My mind encompasses the sugya, and also the sugya thereby is encompassed by my mind. But more than that, when I delve deeper into the subject, then I go into the subject, and now the subject surrounds my seichel. And when the subject surrounds my seichel, and when I arrive and I reach the proper understanding and I comprehend it, so now again my mind sort of is dominant over it. So we have a kesher al gabi kesher from both sides. As the Tanya will call it, a yichud nifla. Says it's an amazing, amazing unity that we have from both ends. It's a kesher shel kayoma from both sides. As the Tanya goes on to say, derech moshel, he says, for an example, kishu odom mevin umazig esa halocha. When a person taka understands and is masik, he comprehends a particular halacha. Which halacha? Doesn't make a difference. Whether it's b'mishnah, if I study a mishnah, or b'gemara, or could be a gemara, doesn't make a difference which gemara. La'ashura al-burya, which means I try to learn it and to study it thoroughly. La'ashura al-burya means thoroughly, which means that I'm delving into it, right? I'm delving into it. So two things happen. His seichel, his mind surrounds, right, the subject. His mind surrounds the subject. His mind encompasses the subject. Vegam sichloi, but also his mind, milubish boisisho. But also his seichel, his mind is clothed in the subject at the same time. That's when he strives to understand it. This is the way Mefarshei Tanya explains it. When calls him on, I'm striving to understand, it means I'm going into the sugya. So while I'm still in the working process, I'm working it out, as I delve into it, then my mind, right? Then my mind becomes surrounded. My mind is the subject of being surrounded by the subject. Ultimately, after, when I really understand and I grasp and I comprehend, then it's the opposite. The item of Torah is in my mind, and my mind surrounds, therefore, the subject. So there is a process going from both sides, from both ends, which means so there's a unity from all sides, the mind surrounding the subject of Torah, and Torah surrounding the mind. The mind is in the Torah, and the Torah is in the mind. Interesting thing. Both are true. Both are happening throughout the study process. Says the Tanya, you have to understand what takes place when a person learns Torah. When a person learns Torah, what takes place is v'hine halochezu. This halocha that he learns. You have to realize what it means when you learn Torah. You're not just studying, you know, a book of laws. But when you're learning Torah, zuhi chochmosoi uritzoinoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means what you're studying, the halacha that you're studying, that is the chochmah, that's the wisdom, that's the ratzon of Hashem. We already explained many times the lashon, the difference between chochmosoi uritzoinoi. When you say chochmosoi, that's the rationale behind the halacha. Ritzoinoi is the psak, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides. Chayev, potter, right? Or you say osur, mutter. That's ritzoinoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be either osur or to be mutter. That's the ratzon. The reason behind the halacha, that's the chochmosoi. So when you study a halacha, you're dealing with chochmosoi and ritzoinoi of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'olo b'ritzoinoi, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided. He decided, for his own reasons. He decided, she'kishiyitoin ruven kach v'kach. It's a very interesting moshul that we'll see that Tanya gives. And we're going through a number of lines of Tanya, and then we'll explain it in detail. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was oyle b'ritzoinoi. This is his will. His will is as follows. Shekeshayitoin Ruvein kach v'kach. Let's say there's a din Torah, a shail of choshe mishpit between Ruvein and Shimon. So Ruvein tainis so and so, such and such. Derech Moshel. The Shimon kach v'kach. And then Shimon, right? Tainis, counter tainis. It's a counter argument. Kach v'kach. So there's aloche yiapsak b'neim kach v'kach, right? In other words, you have countless of cases. If Ruvein says such and such, and Shimon says such and such, so there's halacha. Sometimes Reuven might be right, sometimes Shimon, depending what Reuven tain is and what Shimon's counter tain is are. So you're studying any area in Choshe Mishpat. The Tanya gives this particular moshul. Why does he give a moshul dafki in Choshe Mishpat? We'll mention one of the possible answers. But the pasha doesn't make a difference. But in any area, take the case now of Choshe Mishpat. So you're deciding halacha, and you're making up a case. The case might never have happened. Not only it might never have happened, it may never happen. Many of the cases that we go through sugyas hashas, right, are merely academic. They can happen. They may be unlikely to happen. And if it should happen, there are halachas for each and every situation that the Gemara gives us. So assuming there's a case where you're studying a halacha, Reuven Tain, and you're saying, if Reuven should say this and this, and Shimon should say this and this, so now you're learning and you're saying the psak halacha is kach v'kach, such and such. Says the Tanya, the mere fact that you're studying this theoretical halacha, you are tapping in and you are unifying yourself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It doesn't make a difference if the case ever happened or never happened or never will happen. And even if it never did, right, nor ever will come to pass, in other words, this type of a dintayu, this type of a litigation will never, never, never happen. Over these arguments, where the Tanya tells us the purpose of studying Torah, as he's going to continue now, is not merely to know what to do l'maisa. Avada, we say Godel Talmud Shemevi l'deimaisa, right? We say learning is very, very important, because it's through learning a person has the knowledge and he has the know-how how to perform mitzvahs. But this is not a prerequisite. The ultimate purpose of learning is not just to know how to do mitzvahs. And this is something, I don't know if we'll have the time now this year, that's something that the Beis Halevi developed already in the Hagdoma to Nasa Venishma, that Yidden said Nasa v'nishma, you know, Nasa first the Nishma. Because if he would have said first Nishma v'Nasa, then the understanding of the commitment would be Nishma, we are ready to hear Torah, to learn Torah. Why? Nasa. If Nishma would be first, it means the only purpose, the sole purpose of learning is to know how to do the mitzvah. But assuming someone like the Vilna Goyen, who knows Kol HaTorah Kula, he certainly knows already how to perform all the mitzvahs, he does not have to study, right? Then you would say he has no need to learn anymore. Because if you're saying that the whole purpose of learning is in order to be able to do the mitzvahs, so one who has already mastered entire Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Shulchan Aruch, it means he has no reason for learning. But that is not true. Far from the truth. The opposite of the truth. The Beis Halevi says, Eden said, Nasa first, then Nishma. Why? Nasa means, even if we're doing the mitzvahs already, in other words, we're ahead of the game already, we know how to do the mitzvahs, Nishma. Following the Nasa, there still is a Nishma. There's an independent mitzvah for learning Torah. Not because, and just, or only, to do mitzvahs. But even we're above and beyond, even we're ahead, assuming we master Kol HaTorah Kula, which would take a few lifetimes, but saying that someone like the Goyen who did, who mastered Kol HaTorah Kula, and he certainly knows how to be Mekayim all of the mitzvahs, he still has the same mitzvah of Limud HaTorah that he had from the day that he was Bar Mitzvah. Same thing, doesn't make a difference. Didn't change. Not one iota. The exact same strength of the full mitzvah. That's what the Tanya is telling us. The purpose of Limud HaTorah is not because it's Megeila Maisa Davke. In other words, if someone would learn today Hilchas Beis HaMikdash, if someone learned today Hilchas Korbanos, he has the same mitzvah of Talmud Torah as he would study mitzvah Tefillin. Now you say to yourself, mitzvah tefillin is something that's noyik today. It's something that's contemporary. You'll say, mitzvah binyan beis hamikdash is hilchus l'mashiach, type of a lotion that the Gemara says. It's something that's going to get noyik when the Mashiach will come. We're discussing agadatis and shas, situations which is not negei l'maisa possibly. The exact same mitzvah Talmud Torah. Even though this is negei l'maisa, and that's not negei l'maisa. The mitzvah Talmud Torah is there. Yes, there's a mitzvah, there's a special din kedima. First you should have an idea, and you should study those things which are relevant, because you have to know how to be mekam the mitzvahs. But that's not because mitzvahs Talmud Torah, that's because you have to know how to do mitzvahs. That's a Rebbe's Hechsher mitzvah. Because Hechsher mitzvah, I have to learn and study those subjects, right, which teaches us how to do mitzvahs, not because of mitzvahs Talmud Torah. Mitzvahs Talmud Torah, as far as that's concerned, every chelik of Torah is the same mitzvah. But there's a second dimension. The second dimension is to know how to do mitzvahs. The Tanya says, as far as Torah is concerned, as far as what Torah gives you, the unification, that you become united with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, does not make a difference what chelik of Torah you're learning. And we're here discussing an academic case or a theoretical case. If Reuven would say such and such, and Simon would count the Tanya, this and this, it never happened, never will happen. Says the Tanya doesn't make a difference, as he says further. Mekol Mekoyim, we continue further. Mekol Mekoyim, nevertheless, says the Tanya, Ma'acha Shekach Ola Bertzoyna V'Chachmot Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. Being that this is Hashem's will and it's Chachma, that what? That if such a case would happen, this is the din, you're studying Torah. It's irrelevant whether it's going to happen, or it happened, or it will happen, or it's happening now. But this is the Ratzon Hashem, that if it should happen, this is the din. You are studying Chochmas Hashem. From that vantage point, that you're studying Chochmas Hashem, it does not make a difference which area of Torah you're studying. And therefore he says, this is the Ratzon Chochma, she'im yitoin zekach, v'zekach, then ye psakach, then the psak is so-and-so. So Namele says the Tanya further. So if that Namele wants this being the case, being this is the case, hare. So therefore, kishodom yoidea umasig besichloi psak zeh. When a person knows, right, and he comprehends the psak between Reuven and Shimon, going back to the example, discusses a theoretical case, a made up case. If Reuven would say this and this, and Shimon would say this and this, when he studies this particular case and he knows what the answer would be, what would halacha pask in such a case? Again, it never happened. May never happen. But lamaisa, if it would happen, if Reuven would say this, if Shim would say this, and you come to the conclusion and you say the psak is this and this, you have now followed through. You have followed through the process of what the halacha would be. Kehalacha hu arucha, right? You understand the halacha. Where did you get it from? Not from your own seichel. Something that's from your own seichel, he said, that's not Chochmas Hashem. That's Menschlich Chochmah. Sometimes you may guess it right, by the way. You might guess it right. So you happen to guess right. You know what they say? When you guess the right answer, it's a wrong answer. Guessing the right answer is a wrong answer. Because as far as you're concerned, you don't know the answer. You guess the right answer. So even if you come to a conclusion with your own mind, it says, that's not what we're looking for. But it's Halacha hu Arucha b'Mishneh, oy Gemara, oy Poskim. We're talking about where you understood the psak and you comprehend this psak, which is basically it's set forth that you find it in the Mishnah, you find it in the Gemara and the Poskim. So therefore, if you come to that conclusion, right, if you come to that conclusion through these sources, through the sources of Torah, be it Mishnah, be it Gemara, no matter what, source of Torah, you know what's happening now? At that time, you are encompassing, as they say it in English today, you know, they say, you're picking Kibiyoch HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind. Very difficult way to say this. You say, I want to pick your mind. You say this between Odom and Chaveroi. But it's a funny way, but this is what you're saying. When you're learning Torah, in a sense, you are picking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind. It's an amazing thing to behold, to be able to say that. But that's what's happening. The Tanya uses those laws, this lotion. Look what he says. He says, Harei ze masig v'toifes umakiv v'sichloi. Three lishoinis, he says. It means that you are actually comprehending and you are grasping and you're surrounding with your seichel ritzoinoi v'chachmosu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are surrounding with your seichel the rots and the chokhmah of Hashem, which otherwise the leis machshavet tisabei. You realize normally, if not through Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chokhmah is something we have no shaykhis to. We can't even begin to touch it. We can't even begin to scratch the surface of a surface. The leis machshavet tisabei loy bertzoyna v'chokhmosoy. We have normally, under normal conditions, there is no way using stam menschel chokhmah, using human chokhmah, there's no way that we can really grasp or have any idea of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's rotzen and chokhmah. Ki'im, only the only way. This is tremendous. It's like lahavdil, let's say, like a tunnel was dug, where you have a way, go through this tunnel, right? This is sort of like a shortcut, a tunnel in a way that you are able to reach and connect and to unify your mind, your sechel can unify with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You can grasp a Kodesh Baruch Hu's thought. A Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us a formula, he gave us a medium. And by doing this, here your mind connects and unifies itself with my mind. Ki'im, the only way that we can connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chochmah, that we can have a Shaychis, not Stam Shaychis, but a complete unity. It's an amazing thing, to the amazing extent. Without Torah, we have nothing. It's a Shaych. Leis Chochmah to Tfisabe, Leis Machshavah Tfisabe. No Machshavah can even grasp HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet with Torah, is the complete opposite. It's not just somehow, a little bit or somehow. But with Torah, it's a totally the complete opposite. Ki'im, except the only way we can grasp Chochmas Hashem is behislab shusam. When my seichel is clothed, in what is it clothed? The halachas hu aruches ufaneinu. In the halachas that is set before us. So, Melo, this is one facet that we see. That basically, that by studying Torah, such as the Tanya, so my seichel, our seichel is makif, it surrounds and encompasses the rotzim, the chokhmah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the same time also, not only my mind encompasses, my mind becomes encompassed, which means that the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chokhmah, also surrounds my seichel. As we said, there's a unity from both sides, there's a kesher from both sides. Ve'gam sichloi. But in addition, the person's intellect, his seichel, is melubish behen, is clothed within them. So this is from both tzedodim, mishnei tzedodim, we have a kesher shel kayomo. Says the Tanya, he uses this lashon, he says, v'hu, he says, this is yichud nifla, this is an amazing unity, she'ein yichud kamayu. Look what the Tanya says, this type of a unity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nifla, it's hafla v'tela, it's extremely extraordinary, it's a yichud nifla, she'ein yichud kamayu, which you cannot find this in any physical realm. It's not shaykh such a thing. There is nothing which is even similar or parallel, he says, to that. To have such a unity. In area of gashmis, you don't have that. That they should actually become one and united from every side and angle. Now there's two perushim how this is understood. There's two perushim how this is understood. The Tanya says there's a yichud nifla. When a person studies Torah, there's an amazing unity, he says, that he becomes united, he says. Mamish, he says, mikol tzad upino. They become united. He and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chokhmah become united from every side and angle. One way of understanding it is, as the Mefarshim say on Tanya, is that we said, because not only when he studies Torah, his seichel encompasses Torah, his seichel kibiyochel encompasses chokhmah Hashem, but also when he delves into the sugya, we said, his seichel becomes encompassed. So the Torah is makiv him, and he's makiv the Torah. So you have a unity from Shnei Tzedodim, you have a unity taka from both sides. We'll soon explain why is this only in Torah. Why is this not when you study any subject matter? since I study mathematics, why can't you say the same thing? Now, when I study mathematics, my mind surrounds the subject. When I delve into it, the subject surrounds my mind, and then, yeah, so again, so you have the same thing. That needs to be explained, and we'll touch upon it in a second. So the Tanya tells us, as you see again, he gave us the moshul. When a person studies Chochmas Hashem, remember, we made the point that the Tanya gives the moshul an example of a Choshe Mishpat issue. Studying even an abstract halacha, or a theoretical halacha, that is not contemporary at all, and never was, and possibly never will. Reuven, so you're making up your own case. If Reuven would say this and this, and Shimon would say this and this, the din would be like this. On the other hand, if Reuven would say otherwise, and Shimon would say this, then the halacha would be different. Right? So you have a series of halachas, all made up halachas. You're creating your own scenarios, no matter how unlikely these scenarios are. And this is Chachmas Hashem. If you follow through what the psak would be in such a case, in other words, you glean from the Mishnah, from the sources, from the Gemara, from the Paiskim, and you come to a conclusion what the psak would be in such a hypothetical, theoretical, right, case, non-existent case, nevertheless, this is Chachmas Hashem. Because if it would happen, this would be the Ratzon Hashem. Hashem would say the psak is this, if it would happen. That's enough. Because if it would happen, if there's a halach on this, if there's a Torah on this case, no matter how made up it is, this becomes Takir Chochmas Hashem. So the Tanya's example was that this is Chochmas Hashem. He gives you a made up case. He gives you a case regarding Choshe Mishpat. Now you can have a case in Yeridei also. You can have a convoluted case of a Fleshkes Tuun with a Milligan. You can have such a convoluted case that it's highly unlikely that you'd have such a Teruvah, you'd have such a mix up. You can create your own scenarios in any area, whether in Eruv Chaim, in Yeridei, in different sections of Shulchan Aruch as well, and make up a halachic case. If somebody forgot Yalav Yovi 56 times, you know, but all kinds of situations, and tell you what the halach would be, it would be the same thing. As long as you follow through what the halach would be in such a made-up case, the Tanya, particularly interestingly enough, gives a mashal of Choshe Mishpat. So what is suggested by some of the Mefarshim of the Tanya is that even though Avada, the same thing applies to any area of Torah, no matter if it's not contemporary, even if it's not relevant, but you're learning halacha, you're learning a legitimate halacha in Torah, that means your mind becomes unified with Chochmas Hashem. This is true everywhere. Yet the Tanya gives the case in Choshe Mishpat. You know why? Because by Choshe Mishpat, really, the Yerida is much greater. Why is the Yerida much greater? Because you realize when you're talking about Odom L'Chaveiro, Reuven and Shimon, in many cases, Reuven or Shimon, one of them is a Shakran. One of them is a Shakran. Right? We have Kofar HaKol, you have a Moedah B'Mikzas, either the Teveya is lying or the Nitva. If I say you owe me $100, right, and I have a counterclaim, so one of us is lying. Except if it's a situation where we both agree on the Metzias, which is also a possibility, except we don't know what Daloch is. Where we both agree what happened, but I would think Daloch is this way, you say that way. But many, many cases where you have, all through Shas, where you have Toyin Venit and Dinu Dvarim, means someone is lying, you don't know it. So either he denies, and I'm claiming, and so on and so forth. And there's no edus to prove it, and so now you have yourself a dentire, and so on and so forth. So, but there are cloud, when you're talking Choshe Mishpat, the Yerida is much greater. Why is the Yerida greater? Because you have one of them is Tainik Sheker. Nevertheless, a Yid, when he's Oisik in these halachas, so I'm studying the following halacha. Reuven said such and such, and it happens to be, by the way, he's lying. And Shimon, and I come down to the halacha, this is also Chochmas Hashem. Even though this halacha is based upon one person lying, right? But ultimately, what is the halacha after all is said and done, after everything, when I have all the tainis in front of me? Even though it means one Yid was lying, but the psak of this din Torah, lemaisa is Chochmas Hashem, even though it involved an episode where someone was really lying. So this is a big Yerida. And yet we're saying, even though in the lowliness of this type of a case, this is also Chochmas Hashem as genuine as any other area in Chochmas Hashem can be. So that's a possible reason why the Tanya gives this example, to show that no matter how much that the inyan is taller in the tainess of a boss of Adam, we're talking about earthly tainess, we're talking about human tainess. But the halacha of these human tainis is Chochmas Hashem. The tainis themselves that created, right, is very much boss of Adamdik. No matter how much boss of Adamdik, how it is, earthly, so much earthly, and lowly as it is, Olam Hazadik, but the halacha of all of that is really related to Chochmas Hashem. So this is really what the Tanya is telling us. So what we come out really is, what we see is, so number one, that the upshot, that when a person really is zeiche, that he unifies himself, that he becomes unified together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's makiv Chochmas Hashem, and Chochmas Hashem is makiv him. His Chochmas Hashem is makiv him. A person reaches the Madrega, the Mefarshim say, where we see he is now connected to royalty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Malcha Melochim. The Gemara says that people who study Torah have a din like Melochim. The Gemara says, Man Malche Rabbonon. The Gemara says in Gittin, Man Malche Rabbonon, that G'doyle Yisrael, people who have mastered Torah, are referred to as kings, royalty, man malchi rabbonan. So the great rabbonan are referred to as malachim. Why? Why are they referred to as malachim? Because they are connected through their Torah to the melech malchi malachim. So who's greater? Because you broke the melech malchi malachim. So by studying Torah, and it becomes unified, as the Tanya said, this is the yichud nifle she'en kamoyu. This is an amazing, amazing unity, an amazing yichud between the person. He becomes connected with Chochmas Hashem, which means HaKadosh Baruch himself. Chochmas Hashem again is HaKadosh Baruch himself, not just his Chochma, or that's something like a part, but rather it means he becomes unified to HaKadosh Baruch himself. So he's a Shtik Melech himself. He's a Shtik Melech himself, and therefore he's referred to as Melech Malchei Hamlochim. That is the idea of the Yichud Otzum that a person really is Zoichetu. Also, you realize what happens when a person embarks on a new career, when he starts to study Torah. You know what the Gemara say? Everybody knows the first kapitel in Tillim. It says, "Asher Oishes Shalolach B'Zas Hashem Dach Lomelam." It says, "Ubesoy Zas Hashem Cheftzkim Besoyer Zas Hashem Cheftzoy." It's called Torah Hashem. And later it says, "Ubetoyros Soy Yehega Yoyim V'Loylo." What it means is very simply. So the Gemara says in Moed Katan that before you study Torah, Torah Hashem. Before you study Torah, Torah Hashem. After you study Torah, it becomes Torah Soy. What does it mean? That the Torah Hashem becomes Torah Soy. That's the idea. Why? Because he became one with Chochmas Hashem. The Torah is Chochmas Hashem. So what happened later? How did it change from Torah Hashem, the Pasuk calls the Torah, to his Torah? How become? How from Torah Hashem to become his Torah? You know why? Because he became united. He became united to the Chochmas Hashem. He and Chochmas Hashem became one. So that which was Chochmas Hashem, he's now part of it. He's now part of that Chochmas Hashem, so that's why it's Ubesai Rosoi, Yehege Yom Avaloyla. After he studied Torah, becomes Torah Soi. Famous word that the Satmaruf once said, he said, it's an interesting thing, he says, that you know when you make the two brachas on the Torah, when you oil the Torah, the first bracha is Sayyash Bokabono, right? Mkolamim, Minosalono, is Torah Soi, right? Brachat Hashem, I said Torah. What's the second bracha? Ashenosalono, Torah's Emes, you add the word Emes. Why in the first bracha you don't say Torah's Emes? In other words, Asher Bokabono, Minosalono, that doesn't say Minosalono, because Bracha gave us Torah's Emes. Doesn't say gave us Torah Semis. Why in the second bracha we say Ashenot Anonu Torah Semis? Why is the word Emes added? The word Emes. So the Rebbe said very good. Before you study Torah, whose Torah is this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. His Torah is certainly Emes. You don't need any bracha for that. When you're going to read the Torah, oil of the Torah. You didn't read yet. You're making the bracha before you're learning, right? So what are you saying? Asher Baruch Abonu Mekolam Anot Anonu Es Torah Soi. So we have to add the word Emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is Zichar Emes. The problem is, after you learn Torah, now it's your Torah. Dan Torah, Shem Yizichak HaTorah Semes, he says. Dan Torah, everybody says, my Torah is Torah Semes. Reuven says, his Torah, people have Shittis, people have Chalukah Deis. People says, my Torah is the only Torah, your Torah is not the Torah. My Minhagim are right, your Minhagim are wrong. So, your Torah, when you're dealing with your own Torah, here you have to make sure that it's really Torah Semes. Tashen Nosan Lonu, because what we gave us the Torah, that's after you read the Torah, now becomes your Torah. So here you have to add the word Torah Semes to make sure that what you're getting really, in fact, is the Torah Semes. So Kaponim, what we have here is really a Kesher Shel Kayama. Many, many years ago, Rav Moshe Wolfson, the Meshgiach of Torah V'Das, he gave a series of Tanya lectures many years. It lasted, I think, over a period of certainly more than 10 years. Just mention the idea that what the Tanya here advances and says that when you study Torah, it means is that you are embracing the Torah. And the opposite is also true, that the Torah embraces you. Your seichel surrounds the Torah. Chochmas Hashem. And the Torah surrounds you. So he points out, he says, you know, when you embrace someone, he says, think about it in human terms. It's not always the same. One embraces people according to the love that they have for that person. For example, you can find people embracing each other, even though they're not related. They are good friends. So that's one level of an embrace. Two friends, let's say they haven't seen each other for quite a while, they embrace each other. But you can imagine a husband to a wife or a father to a child, there's a different level of embracing. Because the ahava that's there is on a different level. So the embrace, right, it may appear to be, this is an embrace and this is an embrace. It's not the same level. The quality of the chibuk, the quality of the embrace is dependent in terms of how much chibah and how much ahava there is. So he points out and says, the same way is also, he says, the more a person is ma'ayin in Torah, the more he delves in Torah, because he has the love to find and to be able to reach down to plummet the sources of the Torah, So the more that a person's ma'ayin into it, the embrace is much greater. So when you were saying that when you learn Torah, there's an embrace. So you have two people learning Torah, the embrace is not the same quality. If I'm learning Torah on a very simple level, so although there is a certain level of it being embraced, I'm embracing and I'm being embraced, but if someone is learning with Iyun, and he's delving much deeper, then the level of the embrace is much higher, it's much greater. So it's not all the same. He's learning Torah and he's learning Torah. According to the level of the Iyun, that a person, the more that his seichel is taifis, the more that he's ma'ayin, the more that he toils, and he pointed out, he says, even if someone is not a big Baal Kishrin, he said, if someone is not a big Baal Kishrin, so if he's not a big Baal Kishrin, it means that he has to expend more energy, and he has to delve. Someone who is very quick, has a sharp mind, he can do it much quicker. He pointed out and said, the embrace of the weaker Baal Kishrin is going to be much greater. Because the one who's the Baal Kishrin and didn't delve deeply into it, his connection with the Torah isn't as great. Because merely he skimmed through it, and he grasped it like this. And being that he grasped it like this, he didn't really put himself into it. He didn't put his mind into it. He just grasped it. But the person who had to work, and had to really toil, and had to sweat, and he had to go over it, over and over again, until finally, he was able to zoich it, to understand what it means. So he says, Adrabe, the chibuk, the embrace, that both, that he's embracing the Torah, and the Torah is embracing him, is on a much higher level than the one who is the great Baal Kishrin. So in terms of being connected and unified with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not always a mila to be a Baal Kishrin. Maybe to get 100 on the test, it's better. But legabe, what Torah can do to form that relationship, that unique relationship between a person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the ultimate, and there's no other way to do it. This is the only road, this is the only mahalach, this is the only highway, this is the only derech, is through the medium of Torah. The weaker that a person has kishreinus, and in spite of it, he doesn't sit back. He sits back and he's not doing anything. But it's causing him to work harder. It's causing him to toil harder. And even though the end result, it might be that he understands less than the other person, but that little bit that you, Lemaise, had to do to achieve that low level, let's call it, of understanding, but it involved so much, you gave it so much of your mayach, you gave it your all, the yichud that the Tanya refers to is going to be in a higher level than the Baal Kishrin, who ultimately maybe even knows much more Torah than the other person. So Mel, as we said, this is also, by the way, true. You know, we have the Soides HaTorah, the hidden parts of Torah, and at the same time we have, of course, which is the Torah HaNigla. So when you have the Torah HaNigla, so you're learning Mishnah, Mishnayos, you're learning Chumash, you're learning Gemara, and then you have the Chelik, which is the Soides HaTorah. So he said like this, the Soides HaTorah is something, of course, which is hidden. Why? Because it's covered. It's covered with many, many Levushim. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he gave us the Soides HaTorah, but he gave it to us in Levushim. That's what they're called Soides. The Kodesh Baruch Hu was Mitzamtzim. He compressed. He compressed hidden secrets. These hidden secrets are compressed, but they are covered. So we have to really try to uncover. So the fact is, there's only a certain level of how much we can understand in Soides HaTorah. On the other hand, in Niglas HaTorah, it's open to us. We are able to achieve much greater connection. So he says, very interesting. He says, even though Soides HaTorah is Hoyech HaZachin, it's very, you know, you're talking about things which deal with the upper worlds, but to create the unity between your mind, your Seichel, with Chochmas Hashem, which is only through the medium of Torah, he tainas is greater. You can create that unity with Niglas HaTorah than Soides HaTorah. Because Soides HaTorah is something that we can't connect with as closely. Because Soides HaTorah is covered with so many levushim. So our connection, therefore, is a barrier, that is a dover hamafsik, between the close connection. So there's something which is in between. But regarding Niglas HaTorah, where we can have a hasogi gemura, that we're able to be masik and comprehend closer and better, so through Niglas HaTorah, sometimes it can reach even greater heights of connection. The Maisa, the Tanya told us that this is true by all areas of Torah. He said even of those chalakim of Torah which is not negel Maisa. Because this is the Ratzon Hashem. This is the Ratzon Hashem, L'maisa, because you're learning what the Ratzon Hashem is in such a case. So again, you are creating, which means very interesting. When you open a Mishnayos, or you open up a Gemara, and you say, Rabbi Yehuda says, the Psak Halacha is Azoy and Azoy. You know what you're saying? When you're saying Rabbi Yehuda Paskins, such and such, you're saying is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Paskins, the Halacha is such and such. So anytime you learn a Mishnah, you learn a Gemara, and you're mentioning a name of some Tana there, when in fact what you're saying is not really Rabbi Yehuda saying this, but really HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. Rabbi Yehuda is merely revealing to us and bringing down in HaShemayim what HaKadosh Baruch Hu means. When you're starting Rabbi Yehuda, when you're starting Ramea, whatever you're starting, you're really saying in effect that this is the Ratzon Hashem, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be. Now, what's important to note, which we touched upon, the Tanya says that when a person really learns Torah and he delves into it, so we have what he calls the Yichud Nifle She'en Kamayu Begashmius. You don't have that. You don't have that Begashmius. Now, this is true in a number of ways. What do you mean? It does not happen in Gashmius. Why does it not happen in Gashmius? So one way of understanding, I want to explain, when Tanya says it doesn't happen in Gashmius, because in Gashmius, for example, two dissimilar things cannot become unified. If you take two pieces of wood, for example, right, and you take a nail, so the nail now becomes banged into the wood, all that you have is a nail that's banged into the wood, but the wood and the nail didn't become one. They are just side by side. They're just close together. As close as can be, fine. But the nail didn't become wood, and wood didn't become nail. So you're dealing with Dvarim Gashmiim, you're dealing in the material world, and you take dissimilar items, they won't become one. There'll still be two dissimilar items. They may be side by side, but they don't unify into one. And yet, a Gashmi the Gemind, the Seichel, what is the Seichel of a person? It's made of Bos of Adam, that's the breath of a person, is able to connect, nonetheless, no less, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chochmah, which is Kuloi Kuloi Ruchnius. There's no greater of all the examples that you can think of in science of two opposite poles, things that are diametrically opposed. There's nothing as dissimilar as Gashmius versus Ruchnius. You can think about Oyer versus Choshech, and so on and so forth. Take all the Hamavdals, you know, things that the difference is between one and the other. But there's nothing as dissimilar as Gashmius, ultimate Gashmius, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Kulei Kulei Ruchnius. And yet, all of a sudden, there's a way how to fuse together, to bring together, totally, the human mind, which is Kulei Kulei Gashmius, the epitome of Gashmius, as anything is, Bos of Adam, and that becomes unified. Yichud Niflot. That's one explanation. The Tanya means that this becomes a Yichud Niflot. How can you have, by Dorim Gashmi, the Gashmi is the world. In the physical world, you don't have such a thing. You don't have things, two dissimilar things that become one. But when it comes to Torah, all of a sudden, these laws are broken. These laws don't exist. That the human mind, the Gashmi, the Gemind, becomes fused together and connects with Ruchinius. Maybe next week we'll take a look at the sheet, but I just want to mention to you, before we conclude the segment, just another 2-3 minutes, I want to conclude to you, we say the bracha every day, many times a day. And what we always, by the way, should be mispala with kavona, that we should always be able to say this bracha, the bracha of Asher Yotzar. A person is able to do his bodily functions. As they said once, many, many years ago, a young man passed away, talking from this medrash, Moshe Sobel. And one of the things I mentioned is Levaya. And it was almost 30 years ago, 28 years ago, I'm not sure what it was. And a takshit of a young man, and I never passed away, Yenamachla. And one of the things was we came to visit in the hospital, the problems. We saw what the bracha of Asher Yotzar meant. I mean, to see what that means. When things function properly, we take it just for granted. It's an amazing situation, bracha. But the conclusion of that bracha is, Roifei Chol Bosar Umafli Lasois. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Roifei Chol Bosar Umafli Lasois. Kadosh Baruch Hu accomplishes ployus, wonders, mafli lasois. What particularly are the wonders? Well, on a simple explanation, we know what the wonders are. This amazing. They have miles of plumbing, and how these things work. It's gavaldik, it's tremendous, even on a simple level. But the Ramo, on a deeper level, the Ramo himself, the Ramo look it up in Shulchan Aruch Arachaim Simen Vov, Sifalev, says, Ramo, you know what Reifach Olbosar Mafli Lassus is? Look at the human body. The human body is Kulei Kulei Gashmius. What did Kodesh Baruch Hu do to allow the human body to survive? He infused it with a Neshama. Neshama Kedoshah comes from the Yoylam O'Elyoyim. Neshama, he says, Bederech HaTeva, based upon the laws and the disciplines, says, of this earthly world, a Neshama and a Guf cannot live side by side. These are enemies. You cannot have Esh and Mayim living together. There's no peace between them, not in this world. In Shamayim, we have Esh and Mayim. In Shamayim, they make peace. Reishis Balakim Esa Shamayim. Say Chazal, what's Shamayim? Shamayim is a composite of two words, Esh and Mayim. Shamayim is Esh. What do you mean Esh and Mayim? How can you have Esh and Mayim together? They are enemies. Down here, they are enemies. In Shemayim, they are not enemies. That's what we say, Oysa Shalom Bimroimov. Up there, Kadosh Baruch Hu makes peace. All those who can't coexist on this world, in Shemayim they can coexist. They're homogeneous and they're able to live side by side and they can live in harmony. And this world are problems. A neshama with a physical guf should not be able to coincide. A neshama which is kulay ruchni should not be able to coexist with the body. As a matter of fact, the Alter Kodesh talks many times, the neshama tries desperately to leave. But he has no choice. The Kodesh Baruch Hu made a gzera. Fatoshes olai kapechos, says the Pasuk. Kodesh Baruch Hu insisted, and he was geyser, that this neshama, for whatever time a Kodesh Baruch Hu allots, no one knows the time, the neshama must stay there. As much as the neshama is desperately trying to leave, except if it's the body of a great, great tzaddik, the neshama feels comfortable and is not threatening to leave. As the Alter Kodesh says, pshat in the Pasuk, neshati, said, mishkoni b'soichim v'lasig al nafshi etchem. He says there, that the neshama will not reject your body if your body is a mishkan. Meaning if your body is a mishkan, then your neshama will not abhor living in that body, because your body itself is a mishkan. The neshama says, what am I looking for? To go up to Shemayim. I have it all here. Your body is a shtik mishkan. I have all the kedusha, I have the shekhinah right here. That's a high madrega. And yet, no matter what the person is, who the person is, the neshama is forced to reside and live together in harmony. That is one of the greatest wonders of the Bria. The mafli lasis is, what's the mafli lasis? Says the Ramah. The mafli lasis is that the neshama and the guf can live and coexist side by side, even though one is gashmius and one is ruchnius. So now we can understand what the Tanya is saying, the yichud niflo. This is an amazing, amazing yichud also, that the gashmi is the geseichel. The gashmi is the gemoich. When he learns Torah, becomes fully, fully connected. Becomes connected together with the Torah. Torah is kulei ruchnius. Gashmi is the gikot, and it becomes connected. So I just want to continue to tell you one more nekuda, and we're concluding with this, and that is, again, because the question that we raised again, he says, isn't it by gashmi as well? If I'm studying, whether it should be philosophy or it's mathematics or whatever it should be, my mind encompasses the subject, right? And then when I delve into it, the subject encompasses my mind. So it's the same thing. Why is it dafke by chokhmas ha-Torah? If you make that cheshbon, it should work. In all areas of Chochmah. And the answer is, you can do what's called a Maisa Yichud. Very important what I'm saying. You can do an act of Yichud, but it's not really one. You're going through the motions of making it appear it's unified, but it's not. I'll give you an example. It would appear that animals, males and females, produce the same way, I mean, physically it does, the way humans do. The Pasuk says, Al ken yadavish es ovi v'simoi. What does it say after that? V'dovak bishtoi. V'hoyu l'bosar echad. Says Rashi, through the bonim. How did it become bosar echad? Because the children, the offspring, that is a combination of both. V'hoyu l'bosar echad. That's only by humans. It's not by behemoths. Now behemoths also have offspring. The answer is very simple. Because that's not called an achdus. Because bosar echad is only shayach, where two things can really become one, and they actually become one. Animals, when they do it, it's a maisa yichud, which means they do things of coming together, but it's not an achdus. It's called a maisa yichud. It's an act of doing yichud. It's a maisa of yichud, but it's not an achdus, because it's not shaykh for them to be misachet. It's like putting two things together. They appear to be together, but they're not really one. It's only by Odom that you have that concept. And the same thing is, if you think about it, by any other chokhmah. Let's say somebody studies astronomy. So he studies, let's say, the science of the moon and the stars. What goes into his mind is the chokhmah, the wisdom, or the science of the moon and the stars. But the actual moon doesn't go into his mind. The moon is geblieben dorten. He doesn't take the moon into his mind. It's the study, it's the science, it's the limud of the lavana and the stars. The actual lavana does not go into his mind. It's the study of the science that goes into his mind. But when you learn Torah, Torah goes into your mind. It's the Torah itself. It's not merely the Chochmah of Hashem that you're taking out. You're actually tapping into HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. That's the big difference. And that's Yichud Gomer. That is something that's only by Torah. When you study any other type of a Chochmah, you're makiv maybe the Chochmah of that thing, but you're not makiv this item itself. You're not makiv the Levona, you're not makiv the stars, the Kerchovim. That doesn't go into your mind. It's the Chochmah of that Levona. It's the Chochmah. But when a Yid is learning Torah, and Torah is a lekus mamish. Torah is mamish the Rabbeinu Shloimeh. And the Mele, this is not merely dimyan ha-Torah. When you study the Levona, you're studying the dimyan of the Levona. You studying the Levon itself doesn't click into your mind. It's the Dimion of the Levon. When you're studying Torah, it's not the Dimion of the Torah, but rather it is Torah Mamish. And that is the Yichud Nifla. That is the amazing Yichud, which is Mikol Tzadu Pino, that says, which is all around. And again, let's remind ourselves what we concluded last time, that this is even greater than Tzadikim and Olam Haba. Because Tzadikim, when they go to Olam Haba, what are they going to have? Gan Eden, yes, greatest Gan Eden is, they are only Nehen and Meziv Hashchina. Gan Eden, they're not starting really Torah in this sense. They are only going to be Nehen from the radiance of the Shechina. But through Torah, it's not the radiance of the Shechina, you're actually connected to the Shechina Mamish, which is the Yichud Niflum Kol Tzad, only now, not again. Now's the time to do it.